We're going to start in Mark 7. Who were the Greeks in the Bible? What was their purpose? What are they there for? God had a reason. During that intermediate period between Israel's gospel and Israel's prominence, God working in the world through Israel, the nation Israel, and then between that and the beginning of the body of Christ, when Christ saved, sealed, and sent Paul as his sent out one, his apostle, with information for the rest of us, not Jews, not particularly Jews, in other words, for everybody, including Jews, people that had descended from Jacob, but Paul wasn't saved until Israel had walked away from their covenant. They had fallen from that privileged position, treasured, precious treasure in Exodus 19, 5 and 6. So at the time, well, during that period between those two, between Israel and when the gospel that Paul preached, that we're saved by today, when that was sent to all people later on in the book of Acts, that period in between those two things is called a dispensation of the gospel. And it's the Jews and Greeks that had a special ability and a special opportunity in saving into the body of Christ the remnant according to the election of grace. And that's what Paul talks about in Romans 11, verses 5 and 6, that remnant, it's not the prophetic remnant. They're both remnants from a small believing group from apostate Israel, but this one is not the prophetic remnant of Peter, James, John, you know, those 12 apostles. This is a remnant according to the choice of grace. The election of grace. And at the time, in God's sequence of events, those Greeks had a very important and prophesied duty. They're talked about in the Old Testament. And it'll help here if we look at what Jesus said about a Greek in his earthly ministry. And in looking at this, I don't think the Lord actually called the woman a Greek, but the Lord is God, and all Scripture is inspired of God. That means that God inspired Luke to use the term a Greek, that the woman was Greek. So we'll see that when we get down to the third verse. I'm going to read through this story. I think it's seven verses, maybe eight, and so listen for that as we go through here and see. You can see that she's different than this selfish idol worshiping Gentiles. She is a Gentile, yes, but she sought God. She sought the wisdom and knowledge of God. I don't know whether to say this now or later. Let me just say it before I forget it. There are two places in the Bible that specifically give information about what the Greeks were, what was different about them. Okay, this is one of them. We'll be reading here about the Luke calls the woman a Greek. She's not from Greece. She's not a Greek national. We'll see that she's called a different kind of a nationality. But and the other place is 1 Corinthians 1, I think it's verse 23, that says that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to the Greeks. Well, let me get that right. I'm going to look it up here just a second. 1:23. At least on this computer, they're not... I'm not having RAM problems. 10 seconds to switch. Anyway, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. And here's the part. And unto the Greeks foolishness. Let's go on to verse 24. But unto them which are called, God calls us by the gospel, them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So they fit in with God's plan. We can also see, and in fact, this verse is the strongest in this section, verse 22. That's the verse I was looking for. For the Jews require a sign, and here it talks about the Greeks. The Greeks seek after wisdom. So wisdom, this is about 300 years after the Greek Empire, Alexander the Great and the Greek Empire, and they are known for their seeking after wisdom and acquiring knowledge and building libraries and having schools. They sought after wisdom, and so when people sought after wisdom at this point in 1 Corinthians, they were called Greeks. It's just the characteristic it described. All right, so right now we're going to go to the other place that describes the Greeks. And we're going to look in Mark 7, verses 24 through 30. And you can follow along in your own King James Bible if you've got it open there. And we're going to compare it to the same event that's recorded in Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. So starting in Mark 7, 24, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek. There it is. We know she was a Greek. God inspired Luke to write that. Not Luke, Mark. Pardon me. I said Luke before, too. It was Mark here. And Matthew in the other account. But he says the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. What was her nation? Syrophoenicia. She was a Syrophoenician national. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Verse 27. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be fed. Who are the children? That's the children of God would be Israel. The people, the children they're called. The lost sheep. Anyway, there's various names for Israel, but children is one of them. Unless if he's talking about literal children, you know. But he says, Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, not fed. Fed and filled, in other words. And they hadn't come to the place that they accepted Jesus as their Messiah yet. So he's saying, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. The dogs being Gentiles, like this lady, this woman that was begging him to heal her daughter. Verse 28, and she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. She agreed with him. She yielded. She fell in line. Yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. So what Israel leaves and doesn't believe, doesn't take, Gentiles that want to seek the wisdom and knowledge of God can pick it up, can't they? She's, you know, suggesting to the Lord. Verse 29, and he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Verse 30, and when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone, and her daughter laid upon a bed, the bed. And here we see in Mark 7, the 26th verse, Jesus coined the term a Greek for the woman. The woman The woman was a Greek, it says. She's further described as a Syrophoenician by nation, from Syrophoenicia. And in Matthew 15:22, she's further described as a woman of Canaan. So that she came, she was born one way, she had a nationality of something, and she came from Canaan, and yet she's called a Greek. So it's not talking about her nationality, in other words. So that woman who came to Jesus was not a Greek by nationality. She was a Syrophoenician by nation. She lived in Canaan, and yet Jesus called her a Greek. And let's see why Jesus called that particular Gentile a Greek. In Matthew 15, in that account of the event, we see in verse 26, Jesus told the woman who was a Greek, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." The children are the children of Israel. The children's bread is the gospel of the kingdom that was being preached to them ever since John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist went into prison, Jesus continued preaching that gospel of the kingdom, the promised kingdom that was promised in Exodus 19 and other places. Coming out of heaven, a kingdom, the kingdom of God is in heaven, but the kingdom of heaven, it comes out of heaven to earth. It's the promised kingdom in the land. That's what the land was all about. The woman responded in faith by saying in verse 27, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She put herself in the position of a dog under the Israel's table, under Israel's table. And she was eating of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. This is amazing. The Pharisees did not receive what Jesus was doing or why he came, but that woman, a Greek, knew it was from the scriptures. She knew who he was. She knew who he was, that he was the Son of God. That he was the Messiah. She believed it. She believed what she knew of the scriptures about him and recognized him as the prophesied one. She put into practice the promise about Gentiles in God's covenant with Abraham. And we'll read that. It's part of the next lesson, but I want to just get that while we're talking about it. Genesis chapter 12. I'll read the first three verses, and you'll see what God's covenant. You hear about covenant churches or covenant theology. It's referring back to the covenant God made with Israel. And that's who he made it with, not with everybody in the world. Made it with Israel. Listen to what it says here. Starting in Genesis 12:1. "Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country." That's not us. We're not to leave our country. It's, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Verse 3. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So I think I counted seven through there, seven blessings, seven items, including with that one curse, which would bless Israel, that those that curse Israel are cursed of God. In fact, that's the thing there. The Gentiles were, you know, going astray from God. They mocked the Jews, just like today. You hear people making jokes or anti-Semitic jokes and things, statements against Jews. The Gentiles were glad to worship other idols, to curse Israel, to to be at odds with Jews. So they fit right into that second part of... Is it up there? Let me post that one up there. I will bless them that bless thee. Here's the one that the Gentiles fit. Curse him that curseth thee. That's why in Acts 22, why the Jews exploded in anger and wanted to kill Paul for saying that God sent me to preach the gospel of salvation to all people, all the Gentiles, not just the Greeks in the synagogues that came to God through the blessing Israel and recognizing God was working in Israel, in the world through Israel, but all those cursed Gentiles that would, you know, come to Jews and eat pork in front of them and, you know, just be obnoxious. Why? The point is that after Israel fell, after Israel had committed their unforgivable sin, God waited till that time, until after that, before he introduced the other way to be saved, the way we're saved today, by the gospel that Paul preached. The gospel today it's called the gospel of the grace of God, because it's to all people. When it was only to the Jews would recognize their Messiah, and Paul said Messiah came back and gave us good news. Messiah came back and gave us a gospel by which we can be saved. Messiah being Christ, the gospel of Christ it's called in the Bible. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all those that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Jews and the Greeks, not the Gentiles yet by the time of Romans 1:16. So I think we'll stop there.